I just want to correct before I start something, very embarrassingly. I said something last week, and I just want to correct it. There has no weight on the, it doesn't have any weight on the message or any effect on what was said. But a last-minute tweak in my sermon notes, and I then went and said surprisingly instead of surpassingly. And do want to just correct that. It is surpassingly. You won't find any translation, including Dan's translation, that says surprisingly. Just want to correct that. It is that Paul is still in awe of who God is. So it doesn't affect that. But I'd rather make sure that I'm preaching the word for the word than putting my own things into it. Tonight we carry on in chapter 3, and this will be my last message for the year. Believe it or not, this is how the year is going. I've got Monique who's doing countdowns to summer camp and scaring me. I think you'll see I've lost more hair. So it's been an incredible privilege to be in the pulpit, and I am so grateful to the eldership and to the church that allows me, and for you that puts up with me Sunday after Sunday. And I thought this was a fitting one to finish, and I was going to tackle a lot more verses tonight, but I felt that we will condense it a little bit more and go into the new year with a Philippian story. But what a fitting message, because I don't know if you're feeling tired. I know if it's been a rough year, you're on the final bits, final basis, final things that need to be done, and just trying to find that strength to get things done. I don't know if you're there. Well, Paul likens this image, and he often uses this image of running a race tonight. And we're going to be dealing with Philippians chapter 3 from verse 12, if you want to turn there. And he likens to running a race, and I was reading some of the commentaries, and one of the guys explained this. It's like a journey. If you've ever set off on a journey where you don't know where you're going, long distance, you tend to plan things. Now, I think as he was writing this, this was before the days of GPS where you just put it in and it does it for you. You would have planned things. I remember having a map book and then noting all the turns I needed to take. So many streets, the third street turn right. Okay, that never really helped me, but I tried. You'd plan and you would pay attention to where you were going. You would pay attention to the landmarks in this journey. And you kept on focusing till you arrived at your destination. But so often, when we've got a familiar destination, don't we sometimes get to that place and don't feel that I'm a bad driver? Okay, I'm a bad driver. But have you ever gotten to a place and gone, sure, I actually can't remember how I got here? Anyone done that? Okay, I promise I was watching what I was doing when I was driving. But you're so used to that route that you naturally just get there. Watch what happens when you go home tonight. Oh, I'm here. I know exactly what I need to do, and we don't pay attention to that. We become complacent in where we're at. And Paul here is dealing with a group of people that have created disunity in the church. And what is their disunity? Well, one of the things they're saying that there's perfection through the law. If you're simply obedient to the law, you will find perfection. We see perfection through Christ and Christ alone. And so Paul's dealing with this. And he kind of makes an illustration or trying to deal with the church and kind of advising them from this teaching. And we've been seeing this in chapter 3 continuously that he brings it. And he, just in case they don't get it, Paul swings another way of explaining this. And this is what we see him doing. And he's saying to the guys there that perfection doesn't come through what I'm doing. He doesn't consider himself perfect yet. But he feels that he needs to strive on to spiritual maturity. He needs to carry on. He needs to press on. He needs to go harder and just focus more. There's yet still so much to happen. Now, don't we, as sometimes in our Christian walk, experience spiritual maturity? We start off coming to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And we're so excited and passionate, we can't wait to tell others. We can't wait to be in God's Word, and we start to ask all these questions. I love that. I love that leading somebody to Christ and seeing their change and that hunger and that desire. And it starts off, and they're eager to serve in any way, in any area. Maybe you were like that. And then slowly but surely, as you've learned things, you've had maturity that started to develop. And maybe we've just paused. Maybe you're back on that route that you don't know how you got there. But that hunger and that desire, as you would have for a brand new journey, to learn all, take it all in, make sure where you're going, maybe we've stopped. I know there's many occasions and many times that I have done just that. Paused in the spiritual maturity. And Paul is hammering it on that we're not done yet. That God is not yet done in your life, in working in you and through you. That good work He's doing in your life. That you're not finished. That you've not yet made it. That we need to keep on. You're not done yet. So let us read our text. So from chapter 3, from verse 12. Not that I have already obtained all this, nor have I been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but the one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize, for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already obtained. So how do we do this? How do we run the race? Well, Paul's using this illustration of running this big race, and he's kind of doing it, and he's appealing to the church that would have been very familiar. The Olympic kind of games would have been, they would have been captivated by it. And so he chooses to use this so often in many of his letters. And the races here wouldn't have been the 100-meter dash. Okay, that we so love, the 100 meters. I love watching that. We can skip the Olympics just so long as we see that part. But the challenge and the glorious race here was the marathons, the long distances that he's talking. And he's focusing on that, and his illustrations is going to these long distances. And he's talking and saying that he's running the race, and he's not quite at that finish line. He's not there yet. How do we run a race? How do we do that? Well, I want to highlight a number of points for us tonight. How do we move from just being complacent in the journey we're going in to one that we're captivated and growing in? Well, firstly, we need to have a holy satisfaction. We need to have a holy satisfaction in this. Paul says here in verse 12, I have not already obtained this. Or, it goes on, have I already been made perfect, but I press on to take on. You'll notice that this word, and I'll deal with it just now, is he focuses on, I press on, but I press on. This journey that carries on. I have not already obtained this. This is Paul that is saying this. This is the guy that has led thousands and thousands to Christ, who has gone to churches and planted churches. This is the very person that today we focus in so many of his letters, yet saying, I have not already obtained this. Paul knew that he couldn't sit still. He couldn't say, this is it, I've done enough. I'm finished here. He had something burning inside of him. He's got this burning desire here. Not that I've already obtained this. What has he not already obtained? Well, he's not made in the image of Christ. He's not yet reflecting the image of Christ fully. He's not yet in heaven with the Lord where he wants to be. He knows that. He yet hasn't completed the task and the purpose that God has given him. He's not obtained that yet. He's not hold on to it. He goes on in saying this, but I press on to take hold of which Christ took hold of me. Now, theological scholars have struggled with this text. And still, when you study the Greek in this, and it's just the wrestles that go on. But what's he highlighting here and taking hold of? Well, he's not talking about, I don't fully know God, because he knows God. But he's talking about an experimental knowledge. Something that comes from relational. The more I spend time with my wife, the more I get to know her. The more time I spend with my friends, the more time I get to know them. It's that journey of continuously wanting to know Christ, wanting to know God, to cling on to, hold on to. But he goes on to say that Christ took hold of me. He's referring here to his road to Damascus, his encounter with Christ, his salvation. That God held on to him. God grabbed hold of him. He's taken hold. Isn't it incredible that we may not fully know God yet, but he knows you. He knows all about you. He perceives your thoughts from afar, as Psalms tells us. God knows you, and he has taken hold of you. It was never about our grip, but the grip that he has upon us. How incredible is this? That we're still on a journey. We still are wrestling with sin. We still struggle with things. But yet, you know what? God has got hold of you. God has got hold of you. How incredible is he? God has got hold of you. But Paul wants to know him more. I don't want to just settle for coming to church. I don't want to just settle for having a devotion. But I want to see God's glory through my life. I want to see him glorified in me and through me. I want to see so much more in this. Are you dissatisfied with where you're at in your spiritual maturity? Have you got that hunger to know him more, to grab hold of? I love that imagery of holding. Or are we just sitting, going down the same route, not knowing how we're getting there? Paul's encouraging us, find that hunger to know him more. Secondly, is focusing on one thing. Focus on one thing. With a race, he turns around here and he says, "Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead." He's focused on what is ahead. He's focused on that one thing. Hebrews tells us that I throw off everything that hinders me. And it goes on to say that I focus on the perfecter and author of my faith. I run that race that has been marked out for me. But my focus is on Christ. To run a race well, you have to focus on what is ahead. You need to do that. You can't have other things that distract you. Are the crowd cheering for me? I just want to see what's going on there. Am I staying within my lines and my lanes? Am I doing this? How am I doing? Is my shoelaces untied? The minute you do that, you will not run the race well. But you've got to focus on this. Now, I used to be fit and I used to do quite a lot of running. And I've shared the illustration before, but one of my best cross-country races I ever did was when they took the first team hockey girls and placed them they were kind of marshals along the route to make sure our southern boys weren't cheating. And it was incredible because I was struggling in the race, but all of a sudden, here's this beautiful girl that's watching you run. You're fixed. I ran the best timing I've ever done. And I focused on what needed to happen. In our spiritual race, we need to be focusing on one thing, and that is Christ. But what do we do as Christians? So often we focus on each other instead. Oh, you know what? They're growing. They're struggling with their quiet times. I've got it. I'm okay. And we start comparing ourselves to others. Yo, look at that pastor. He keeps on throwing wrong English words in. Yeah? I'm okay. I can do this. Where's our mark that we're supposed to be setting? It is not in how others are doing. It is in the glory of Christ, the perfecter and author of our faith. How do we know we've reached spiritual maturity? When we are with him and in him. Focus on one thing, and that is him. What is distracting you? What has got your focus? What's consuming your time? What is consuming your passion? What's consuming your desires? What's taking you away from that? Focus on Him. My third point, we need to forget the past. We need to forget the past. He says in here, forgetting what is behind. Forgetting what is behind. Paul is not saying that he's forgotten what he's done. He's not forgotten all these things. He's saying that he's not holding on to them. He's not dragging them with. It's not the baggage he's holding on to that's slowing him down. He's left that in the past. He's left that. This can mean a couple of things for us. One is he's forgetting the hurts. Have you ever been to a point in your Christian walk where you've been so hurt that I talk about a speed wobble that you've hit this thing? And maybe it was in ministry and you've had that discouragement that's taken place. And you're just feeling like, oh, I can't go on. And maybe that's impacted your faith. Maybe that is holding you back. Maybe it's the hurts of somebody that you looked up to. And when they failed, or when they disappointed, or when they really deeply hurt you, that's kind of brought you to a place of questioning your faith. We need to look to Christ and not what was in the past. So it may be the bad things, the things that have really hurt you, the things that have seemed to have kind of defined you a little bit. An illustration was about a couple here that had been going through marriage problems. And in marriage counseling, it came out that the wife had been married before. And her previous marriage was one of abuse. And she was now struggling in her new marriage, not because her husband had done anything wrong, but simply because she couldn't trust him because of what her previous husband had done. It's what was impacting from the past. What's impacting you? What hurts? I want to encourage you to lay that before the Lord, our great healer. To wrestle, to go journey with someone. To say, hey, Dan, this is actually impacting my faith. This is impacting where I'm going with the Lord. We need to deal with that. It is also the good things. Forgetting the good things. We see the Israelites, when walking through the wilderness, sometimes made the reference of how they longed to be back in Egypt. Okay, we know the full story, but don't you find that strange? Don't you remember what was going on in Egypt? Don't you remember all those things? Yet they longed for that. Don't we sometimes do that as well? Oh, I long to go back to school. And you forgot what actually really happened at school. You just remember the good things. You know, I long to just do this. And we forget that. What really went on. It's only not holding on to the good times. Of the times, oh man, that's when I really grew closer to the Lord. When I really remembered that time, when I really saw God use me. That's not holding on to those things, not holding on to that past. And Paul here is also not holding on to his sins. He's not holding on to the things that could have kind of disqualified him because he realized who he was in Christ. Remember, Paul was not just the great that we knew. He was the persecutor, putting many Christians into prison and seen the death of some. He could have held on to that. He could have been reminded of that. You are disqualified from ministry. You're disqualified from this. There's many things in my past that have disqualified me. And I could cling on to those and hold on to those, and I sometimes get reminded of those very things. But because of who Christ is and what He has done and the work He is doing, and so great is His grace. Don't cling on to those things of the past. What am I trying to say here? Don't let your past hurts or the good times hold you back from what God has got planned for you today. Don't hold on to the quiet time you had yesterday. Look forward to the quiet time you're going to have today. Don't look forward to the work. Don't look backward to the work that God did in you and through you yesterday, but look to what the work that God has got planned for you today. God wants to use you today. Let's look forward to that. Let's not cling on to what happened before. Paul was seizing the moment, seizing the day. This is the opportunity. I need to be faithful to God today and not because of what happened yesterday. We need to forget the past. Lastly, we too need to have great determination. We need to have great determination. We see in the text, and some of the translations will go on to talk about, and Paul's highlighting this, I press on, I press on. Some of the translations use, I strive on, I strain on, or I pursue on. I pursue here, press on. I love verse 13 here, where it says that he's straining towards here. And this is highlighting a great exercise that's taking place. This is with that straining. It's not, I'm walking a journey and it's going well and it's great. He's talking about this full determination, this full focus. I want to get there. I'm straining on. This is muscles that are pumping. It's that pain and that agony. It's that straining. It's that leaning towards. I need to just find that little bit of energy left just to get there, to go on further. It's talking about a time when you just simply want to give up and not go on. You just want to pause and say, I just can't do this. Don't you feel like that this time of year? Final exam and you just can't study for it. The last one, and yet you can't find that energy. You find doing everything else instead. It's that push on. Find that discipline. Find that energy. I need to move on in this. Paul encourages Timothy in 1 Timothy 4, verses 7 and 8. He talks about not just the physical exercise that's important, but the spiritual exercise that needs to take place. We need to carry on each day, get into that discipline. There's many times when you're not going to feel like a quiet time. There's many times where you will feel God's prompting and know that God wants to use you for something and just saying, God, I just don't have the strength and the energy. God, I can't go on. I can't do this. I can't do this anymore. We need to find that strength. We need to keep on when we don't feel like it. You're not done yet. Pursue. Pursue. To give everything for it. To race after just that. To try grab hold. To try catch it. Pursue. It takes great determination. Don't give in. Continue. Continue each day looking to the Lord. Continue each day to know Him more. And to conclude here, I want to focus on verse 14 quickly and 15. So it says here, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ. Instruction here, verse 15, as all of us who are mature should take such a view of things. So all of us should be involved. All of us should have the same mindset here of when that we're not done. Then we need to carry on. And if at some point you think differently, that too God will make clear. Only let us live up to what we have already obtained. Do you know that you can only help lead somebody to Christ as far as you've grown towards Christ? It's a challenge for the pastor here. And the pastor, am I continuously learning more about God? Because I can only help you as far as I've ever gone. That's it. Are we going further? He talks here towards the goal to win the prize. I think the King James uses the word instead of goal, towards the mark to win the prize. Keeping our eyes focused on God. Paul longed to be in heaven with his Lord. He longed to be the day with Him in glory. That was his desire. But he knew he had a purpose and he knew the race wasn't yet over. Let us have such a heavenly mindset, but yet such a passion for what God has got for us here on earth to do today. God is still at work in you. Take heart in that. And when you're at that place where you feel like you can't strive on, you can't press on, know that God strengthens you in those moments. One of the greatest talks I ever had, and I remember as a youth pastor speaking to us as a team, he used that Energade, the Powerade advert. And it was a radio advert, and you could hear the racer, the runner, running, and you could hear his pace was going, and you could hear his steps. And slowly but surely, you could hear that panting and that slowing down. And just that point, and you heard him drink. And he grabbed all that drink, that Powerade just gave him that strength, and you could hear him run on. And I remember that he reminded us that yet God is able to strengthen us. God is at work in us. When you feel like you can't get on, pull to Him. Look to Him. It's amazing what strength you find in Him. You're not done yet. Your race is not over. God has got some great things planned for you tomorrow and the next day and the next day. He's got some great things that you're going to discover about Him in the next day. Look to Him. Focus on that mark it's talking about, that finish line. That it's saying, the goal mark. Yeah. Focus on that end race. God has got planned for you. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank You. We thank You that You choose to live in us. You choose to work in us. You choose to shape and inform our lives to reflect Your image, to reflect Your Son. Lord, forgive us for sometimes just becoming very complacent in our faith. We come to church because it's what we do. We're involved in ministry because it's just what we do. That we miss out that there's something far greater. It's knowing You, seeing You, seeing Your glory, and displaying Your glory. So Lord, I pray that You would give us a brand new desire for You tomorrow. A desire to be used by You, and such a hunger for You. I pray this in Your name. Amen.